there was no way I could see that God could honor a Christian organization when we had some questionable practices happening internally. And so the biggest, boldest move of my career was to sack the whole entire sales team and change the structure of the way we were doing sales to align it to where we thought God was leading us to. We finished that year with a $200,000 surplus.
Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord.
I think it was $300,000 actually. Yeah. We went from a $1.8 million hole to a $2.1 million surplus, $2.1 million turnaround, so a $300,000 surplus. Wow. And that was just by going, we've got to realign the organization to what matters most, honor God, honor people, and everything else follows.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
Todd.
Yes, Wendy.
Hi. You know, I was thinking, you know, how often have you gone through different transitions in
transitions
your life?
How do you handle it? You know, given my age,
you've had a few.
I've had my share of transitions, which really means you've got to embrace change.
Right.
But I typically don't embrace change.
Not
I typically
real well.
Resist change because change
you're human.
Means yeah, and well, because we're dealing then with the unfamiliar things, and I love certainty and I don't like uncertainty. But that's not the case for our guest today.
That's right. That's right.
Jared Greitz is a seasoned media executive and a faith-driven leader whose career spans over two decades in the radio industry. And he's held significant roles, including the CEO of Positive Media in Melbourne, Australia, where he transformed 89.9 The Light into the most listened to Christian radio station in the Southern Hemisphere. Wait till you hear about the transitions that he led that team through. He's also served as a vice president of audio streaming and educational media foundation. Those are the owners of K-Love and Air One, the two largest Christian radio networks in the world. And he was overseeing the expansion of their Air One and K-Love streaming platforms and did a phenomenal job with them. Now he has started the Greitz Media Group, which is an awesome company that is now serving Christian clients, primarily in Christian radio across the country. And he is a seasoned veteran in handling transitions and changes.
Yes, he's a great guy, and he's got lots of joy and humor inside of
him.
He's really fun. But throughout his career, Jared has navigated numerous transitions, as we were talking about transitions, and challenges that went along with those transitions. And wait till you hear the challenges. Oh my. Including rebranding initiatives, technology, technological.
That is too funny.
Okay, tech shifts.
Yeah, there you go. Tech shifts and
global relocations.
Yeah. What does that mean, global relocation?
Well, it means he
moved from Australia to America.
Okay. So his unwavering faith and positive outlook have been central to his ability to lead and inspire through periods of change and uncertainty.
For real, yeah.
Enjoy the show. Well, welcome, Jared Greitz, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We're so glad you're here. And
yeah,
we just want to say thanks for joining us from your closet.
It's taken a lot of years for him to get out of the closet. But folks, you're going to see where he spends most of his time. If you watch the YouTube version, this is the funniest thing ever.
Because I just thought I would be in a location that sounded good, and I thought I would have a virtual background on, but when you guys convinced me that my closet looked better than the virtual background, then I kind of figured that, let's run with this. But it's an honor to be with you guys.
Thank you.
And can I just say from the outset that if I look anywhere near as good as you guys when I'm your age, I'd be blessed. I mean, I'm looking really at you, Todd, more than anything. I mean, I'm not saying you're
Wendy
old, Wendy.
Yeah, because you're yeah. right.
Exactly. Like, wait a minute. Do I need some work done? Come on,
Jared. It's great to be here, guys.
You're too kind. Jared and I go back a few years. We had the wonderful opportunity and privilege to kind of work together when Jared was in Australia. And he was the CEO of Positive Media in Melbourne, Australia. And our company was helping groups like yours, Jared, to just kind of improve and expand your whole fundraising efforts. And we had a great time doing that. And right from the very start, I've always been impressed by you are a risk taker and you're one who likes change. Most of us hate change because we get comfortable in our familiarity. You seem to be driven to break through some barriers and to bring about changes that really make sense. But there's a cost to that. There are some great things that can happen in transitions and some very challenging, scary things that can happen. So first, I want you to just tell me a little bit about what happened in Melbourne at whatever. It's, I just want to call you Light FM because that's what you went by, 89.9.
We rebranded to 89.9 The Light, and the company name was Positive Media.
But you guys, you led some real challenging transitions while you were there. Talk a little bit about that and how your team reacted and how you handled the reactions from your team as you were going through that sort of major transition with the radio station.
Yeah, I think there was actually two that I would talk about. The first one was when I first took over, and then the last one was the last couple years, which was the COVID years, and two very different periods, but a similar leadership thing that needed to happen. So when I first took over the station, it was an amazing station. It still is today. And now the most listened to in the Southern Hemisphere, which is a testament to the work of all the people behind the scenes. If I was to say the product was amazing, but internally it was a bit rotten to the core, I think that would be an appropriate way of describing the situation there. And it wasn't that there weren't well-meaning people involved. It wasn't that the people were necessarily bad. It's just that the situation was such a mess. There was financial challenges. There was poor culture from a number of different reasons. And we measured this in the Best Christian Workplace survey. And the first survey came back bordering on toxic. And they have four levels: toxic, critical, healthy, and flourishing. And fast forward to the end of the story, we got to flourishing 2 years later, and they said, we have no idea how this happened so quickly. But without going into full details, we had some pretty bad people. It wasn't necessarily bad people, but we had some bad people. And that had caused some chaos in the sales area and in the finance area. The stories I would tell you maybe at a bar over a drink one night, guys, but certainly from a public perspective, what I will say is that there was no way I could see that God could honor a Christian organization when we had some questionable practices happening internally.
Pause there.
Drop the mic.
I mean, seriously, put an exclamation point on that one, because that is so crucial to acknowledge, to confess, and to act on. So thank you for saying that.
It was one of those crazy things that I could just see it clearly. We're asking the Lord to bless the organization, but there was toxicity in there and we knew what it was. And so the biggest, boldest move of my career was to sack the whole entire sales team and change the structure of the way we were doing sales to align it to where we thought God was leading us to. And we took an initial dip. All of my peers called me up and said, you're crazy. How can you do that? And I said, well, how can we honor God with this environment? So we changed the structure. We changed the people. We changed the way of selling. And we had hit the same level of sales within 18 months and then exceeded those sales within a couple of years.
That's so incredible, Jared. You know, in my mind, it's like, it takes a lot of courage to stand up and do something that drastic, especially when people are, you know, typically operating more out of fear. Even though there's toxicity in an organization, they're afraid of what someone else might think, or they're afraid because, you know, they've had longevity of a friendship with that person, or whatever the case may be. But when it's all said and done, no matter what the organization is, but especially in a Christian organization, things need to be on the up and up if you want God's blessing on it. So I just want to say kudos to you, mm-hmm. because that is God honoring, and it's tough to do, and not everyone would do that. So was there a time in that process where you felt like you were a lone ranger? Did you have some support with you as you were, you know, going in and cleaning house?
I think when you make calls like that, you're crazy to do it by yourself. But the answer was there were times that I felt like I was doing it by myself, even though I had amazing support. So my board chair at the time, his name's Rob Evers. We're still friends today. He was an exceptional support through this. He said, Jared, my job is to manage the board. Your job is to manage the radio station. My job is to challenge your assumptions. And what I'm hearing you say is this: I support you. It's a big plan, and you've got my full support. So that, from a human perspective, meant the world to me.
So like that was Joshua and Caleb right there. You two were like Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then our finance guy, he actually stepped down from the board and came to work in the organization to help reorganize our financials. And that three-way partnership between Rob, Andy, and myself, I think was critical to that. But I don't want to diminish the faith that I had. I had this conviction, and it didn't happen overnight. It was a lot of prayer. It was a lot of Holy Spirit lead. This situation is so dire that I don't think any human can handle it. But we handed it over to him, and because of that, it was, well, this is the feeling that we've got. This is what we believe. This is where our prayers have been leading. So we could step forward in faith. And I think at times, us humans, when we're driven by fear and we don't like change, that step of faith is so hard to do. But if we really believe that God has us, then you're actually called to that step of faith. And so I was able to step into it to say, well, you know what? I believe this is the right path. I believe that God's leading to us. I'm going to step into it. And if it fails, well, then God's got it regardless, but it never failed. It never failed. And every time I get to that point of going, God, I'm handing it over to you, you get there, and God always will blow you away with what he's got for you, which is far better than you can ever imagine for yourself.
Amen. Yes.
That's the key, believing that God's got you. And so that didn't just happen overnight for you. That faith was developed over time. Just take a moment to share with us, how did you come to faith? What was the process, and how did you get from the very beginning to the place where you could trust him with those big things, say, well, God, I'm going to jump out here, and I believe you got me. So how did that journey start?
I'm going to say some things that are theologically not correct here for a moment. So bear with me.
We'll have another
right?
podcast to unfold.
Fun.
All
I love
that.
It. Yeah, let's do go. It.
So you know, I'm Lutheran, and what I'm about to say about the Lutheran beliefs, which I'm proudly a Lutheran, so I'll just be very clear about that, yeah. that In the Lutheran Church, they believe that you're saved when you're baptized at birth. And so I was baptized 3 months or two, three months after I was born. And then you go through a confirmation of your faith at about 12 or 13. I would say, and this is the bit that's theologically challenging to that belief, is I would say that I actually became a Christian when I gave my heart to the Lord and I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time at a Christian camp when I was about 14. And that camp, so I still remember the time. I still remember putting my hand up and saying, I submit. And I felt the rush of the Holy Spirit coming into me, this warm feeling. Wow. And wow. I just knew. So really, they're the three times, if you want to pull it together, baptized, confirmed. But that was human head knowledge. And then it was the spiritual connection.
Again.
And exactly right. And I gave myself to him, so much so that that campsite, I ended up going to many camps there, becoming a leader. And I actually ran I ran that organization as the chair on the board for 12 years, and we ran them through a $4 million development. I got onto that board, I think, when I was 21. It was kind of crazy, but that's where it happened for me. And then I guess as you're a Christian doing life, your faith matures as you witness things, as you experience things. And I've just witnessed and experienced the Holy Spirit in profound ways. And I know I've got this feeling when there's true alignment with the Spirit, And that's where strength comes from me. So I can tap into that at any stage. And that generally comes around a prayer of, hey, God, I've taken control back again. Let me rehand that back to you. And I'm sorry. And I just want to submit to you, submit my plans to you, follow and fill me with the Spirit and let me see what you've got for us in this situation.
You are so spot on. And it's so human nature of us to want to try to control and I've got it. And I want you here, but I also got it. That's so just not how it's supposed to roll. And so the more we surrender and open our hand and let go, then, you know, the whole cliche, let go, let God, but it really happens. And so that's your point right there. And so that's beautiful.
And you had lots of opportunities to put that to the test. I know because of the changes that and the opportunities that came your way to make changes. So you mentioned there were two big changes there before you left Australia. I want to get into that story. So is there anything you want to comment about? Was it in 2020 where the second bunch of transitions occurred?
Yeah, so COVID hit March of 2020. I actually was in America in January of 2020, and I had another trip planned in March. I came back with a bit of a sniffle, and I remember the receptionist, her name's Linda, and she's from South Africa. She's going, "You're not coming into this building, Jared." And I'm going, "It's January, there's six people in America with COVID. We're fine, right?" Well, of course, we know what happened after that. But the COVID situation hit us at the radio station at the worst possible time in cash flow. So as a nonprofit listener-supported radio station, we would have our biggest fundraiser in June, and this hit in March, and the government support package number one came out. There was nothing in that for us. Package two came out. There was nothing in it for us. And package three was called JobKeeper, and that enabled us to keep our staff on. So as long as we kept staff on, we got a payment from the government, and that they were in effect paying people's salaries. But nevertheless, even with that, the situation was dire. We were weeks away, and I guess we weren't unique. Everyone was feeling the same thing. We were weeks away from being in serious diabolical trouble. And I remember at the time saying to God, okay, lead us through this, guide us, give me your thoughts, give me your vision, give me your wisdom, give me your direction and your strategy now of how we handle this and how do we honor you, honor our audience, and honor our staff all at the same time. And that was a real key thing for me. That was that win for God, win for the audience, win for the staff and the organization in essence. Most organizations put the organization first. And I watched this happen and I was disgusted. This was Alan Joyce, the CEO of Qantas Airlines, in about March of 2020, and I was disgusted with what he got in front of the media and said. He said simply this: COVID has hit the airline industry and most airlines will disappear. Only the strong will survive. Qantas will survive because we are strong. And then about a sentence later, we're going to lay off 9,000 staff.
Wow.
And I sat there and I go, hang on a sec. You're saying, look how good the airline is. We're really good. We've had cash reserves. We're fantastic. And by the way, the people that got us to there are disposable. It really grated on my nerves. And I said, God, I don't want that to happen for us. And then he kind of imparted something in me, which was the God-sized hole that we had ahead of us meant that no matter what we did, if we laid all the staff off, we were stuffed anyway. So the station had no chance of survival without God stepping in, right? Knowing that was really easy to do what we did. And what we did was this. Instead of laying staff off, we employed staff. We employed people. I said to our staff, if we cannot serve our audience in the midst of the greatest tragedy, chaos, uncertain, hopeless period in our living history, then we may as well shut up shop and turn the radio station off and hand the license back to the government.
Wow.
And so they said, okay, Jared, what's your plan? And I said, our plan is simply this. we are going to connect with their audience more than we've ever connected with the audience before. We're going to have staff on the air 24 hours a day. If there's a solo shift at the moment, we're going to bring a second person in. And we not only got through that year without laying a single staff member off, we employed half a dozen to a dozen people. I can't remember the exact number.
Incredible.
Here's the other thing that happened. We had a $1.8 million hole that had to be filled. Again, humanly, it was not going to happen. It could not happen unless we had faith and we did something different to normal. And that was the first part of that I've explained about let's employ our announcers, let's employ these DJs. Here's the second thing that happened. We doubled down and we served them really, really well. We explained what we were doing. We explained why we were doing it. We explained that in the midst of this chaos and hopeless time, the light is there for you. We don't know where the finances are going to come from, but that's the least of our problems right now. You're in the same situation. You don't know how food is going to get on your table, but we're going to do this together. Well, I can tell you 6 months later, we finished that year with a $200,000 surplus.
Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord.
I think it was 300,000 actually. Yeah. We went from a $1.8 million hole to a $2.1 million surplus, $2.1 million turnaround, so a $300,000 surplus. Wow. And that was just by going, we've got to realign the organization to what matters most, honor God, honor people, and everything else follows.
You know, Amen. That is a simple formula, honor God and serve people the best you can. And how can God turn that down, right? Even though you bring him some crazy things like, hey, God, we're going to employ more people. We're going to need more money, even though it seems tight around here. I wonder if God just doesn't delight at times when we, in a sense, if I could put it this way, put him to the test. Yeah. Because really, we're validating our belief that God's will can be done in God's way when we truly are committed to surrendering ourselves to doing it his way, and serving his purposes.
Yeah, but a lot of people, Jared, would just give lip service to that.
Yeah,
like, oh yeah,
yeah,
I'm honoring God and I'm serving people. But no, you really were putting words where they were to be, and that was with the action.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
What a great example. Now, I know that the testing times weren't over. you passed some good ones there. All of you did. But then something was stirring inside of you because you're no longer in Australia. You're not leading that ministry any longer. So you're here in America. What happened? It seems like you were in the right place at the right time. What changed?
I thought you were going to say you're in a closet in America, which is very accurate right now. So
that's quite a transition.
So during COVID, K-Love, which is the largest Christian broadcaster in the world, reached out and they said they knew that I had specialty with a music scheduling software that they used, and they had some personnel transfer and they had one person in this organization. I mean, it's a $250 million organization with about 600 staff. They had one person that knew how to use this piece of software. And so they put that request in. I spoke to my board and the board said, yes, we're more than happy for you to help them because we think there's a benefit here for both organizations. And so for a period of time, I worked with K-Love remotely during that COVID period of time. And then by 2022, and you've got to remember, Australia was locked down completely during this period of time. So for 2 years, no one could travel to Australia. I shouldn't say no one. The waiting lists were massive because they would only let 30 people on a 400-seat plane. Like, it was crazy. No airlines were flying. It was incredibly difficult, incredibly expensive. So US people couldn't get to America, but Australians could get home, for instance. And so there was no way of coming over here. And there were conversations. They said, hey, look, Jared, we'd love to chat to you about, you know, what a future could look like. But of course, we were in the middle of COVID. I was called to lead that radio network. And so I stayed there. And then towards the end of 2020, God reminded me of a vision that he'd given me when I first came to the radio station. And the vision was simply this: Jared, I'm putting you in charge of 2,000 people. There's a forest that's never been walked through before. I need you to safely get them through the forest.
Nice.
That was the vision, huh? Okay.
That was the vision. So for 8 years, I was telling, maybe 10 years, I can't remember. It was somewhere between 8 and 10 years. That was the vision that he'd given me. And I told that story 100 times. Huh. Well, at the end of 2022, I was sharing that story with some friends. And in that moment, if you've seen the Matrix movie where they say, I need to learn how to fly a helicopter, downloading now, and their eyes flood up, right? My eyes flooded and they saw it and they said, what's going on? And I said, hang on a sec. I said, I didn't realize there was an end to this vision. And they said, well, what's the end? And I said, I've just seen coming through a forest, and on the other side of this forest, there's this river with a bridge that goes across into this beautiful field. And before I could even finish explaining that, the 2,000 people behind me were running. They were running across that bridge. So I'm high-fiving them, patting them on the back, cheering them on as they're getting across the bridge, going, okay, well, I could see the vision being fulfilled. The last person goes across the bridge. I pat them on the back. I go to step on the bridge, and God says, no, you don't. That's not your bridge to cross. I've got another bridge for you to cross and another group of people to lead through a forest. And so with that, I resigned from my role as CEO at Positive Media. I was there for 12 years in total without a job to go to, because I felt this conviction that that's what God wanted me to do. And the most amazing amount of peace came over me in that space, where I was able to go, I'm walking away from something that I built. It never became an idol for me, but of course I was proud of what we'd built. But I also was there for a quarter of my life and a half of my working life at that stage. Mm. So that's a tough thing to do without a job to go to. But I felt that was God wanted me to do.
Yeah, so I immediately, as Todd's wife, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, so what did your wife and your family, like, oh my, how did that play out?
Yeah, were they ever tempted to say, stop listening to God and listen to us?
My wife was really happy that I'd gotten to that point. Being a CEO of any organization is difficult. When you're a CEO of a nonprofit organization and you've got a board of 7 people, but plus subcommittees, I mean, during those COVID years, I think I counted up, we had about 42 board meetings and subcommittee meetings in a year, and they're all after hours. And then there's donor events that are after hours. And then there's trips, which take me away from family. So I was away from family at least 10 weeks of the year, which wasn't great. And I, at that stage, had a 4 or 5 year old. And so Jackie was quite relieved and happy that I'd made the move out. She was nervous about what the future would hold, but we had a few reserves in place. And so then that just embarked on the next step. And really, to answer your question, Todd, from there, there were a number of opportunities that happened, and I just laid them all down at the foot of the cross and said, God, lead us this way. I had stuff in, I had jobs as CEO. I had jobs in radio. I had jobs. I had opportunities, but none of them were in Melbourne. Wow. And that spoke volumes to me. I think there were 8 different opportunities and none of them were in Melbourne. And it came down to between 2 jobs, the CEO of a Christian campsite, funnily enough, or to move to America to work for the largest Christian broadcaster. And I felt peace that that's where God was leading us to. And so I took a job at K-Love as the vice president of streaming and in international growth. And I started working from Australia for the first number of months while we did the process to move to America. And then we finally landed in America at the end of December 2022.
Mm. Wow. Well, I just think of the level of, excuse me, faith that you and your wife had during this whole transition period. Like that's huge. A lot of people,
we're stepping up, but God will get us.
That's right.
That's kind of been your mantra.
That's huge. So you go from Melbourne, Australia, you come to America. I'm thinking of that show, Coming to America. All of a sudden it just hit my head, Coming to America. That's a great movie. Anyway, so what was that like? I mean, it's a little different. I mean, you know, Australians, not that we aren't fun over here in America, but Australians really know how to have some fun and they're cheeky and, you know, it's different. It's different personalities a little bit, right? So what was the transition like? How did it all play out, and how did your family settle in? And Tennessee,
horrendous.
Correct?
Horrendous. The worst possible things. When you step out and follow God, the enemy doesn't like that. And so we had spiritual attack from from the moment that we started moving, we were moving through a meter of water, so that's almost 3 feet of water, to get our stuff to a shipping container. My wife damaged her back as part of COVID, and then in the week before we flew, so we'd sold our belongings, we were in a hotel. The night before we were flying Melbourne to Sydney, Ollie woke up and he said, I'm really sore. And we're in the hotel in Melbourne. We're flying to Sydney that day and we're flying to the US the next day. Well, he couldn't walk. He lost his ability to walk. He lost the ability to control his legs. This is the day before we're moving after 6 months of preparation, right? We called a doctor and the doctor said to us, he should be fine. Get him to Sydney and then see what happens and look, go to emergency if you need to. So we get on the plane and he basically gets off that plane by being asleep. So he never sleeps on a plane, didn't eat on the plane. And he got up, he couldn't walk off the plane. We had to get a wheelchair for him. Wow. And we're at the furthest gate. Now, we had 15 suitcases, right? We're moving to America. This is all our belongings.
Oh my
this
goodness.
Is our flight out. So I've got 9 suitcases full plus 6 carry-on bags. We're to the max. My wife's got a damaged back. So she's got suitcases. I've got suitcases.
And how old's
I'm pushing Ollie?
Ollie.
And he is 7 at the time. And Jackie says, we need to take him to emergency. And I said, I know. And so, I mean, this story is a doozy. You can keep going on. I'll cut it down for you. But we had the enemy and God at every step of that turn. We got down to the baggage. I got the baggage. I took it to the baggage collection area. And I said, can you please look after this while we go take our son to hospital? She said, absolutely not. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not helping you. Well, of course, God sends an angel who overheard the conversation. And she said, not only will I'm happy to help you, but I work at the hotel you're going to, right?
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
So I send Jackie and Ollie to hospital in an Uber. I jump into an Uber myself. I had to take 2 Uber rounds to get to the hotel to get our bags because you can't fit 15 suitcases in one car. I'm in tears in the car going, I've killed my son. The Uber driver's consoling me. So another blessing there. I call the travel agent up and I said, hey, this is what's happened. Any chance of getting a flight out in a few days' time? He said, Jared, I'm not sure if you know that there's this thing called COVID. And in that space, no one's traveled for the last 2 years. There's no flights. You are not flying this side of January 1st. And I said, we have to. And this was a month out, right? It was December 2nd. I said, we have to for tax reasons. I said, humor me, ask the question. So I called the travel insurance then, and travel insurance is terrible. But in this case, God sent an angel to us, and she said, we'll look after you. And she called us the next day to see how he was. We got to the hospital. Wow. The hospital was evil, right? The doctor said, there is nothing wrong with your son. Take him home. Stop wasting our resources. And I said, hang on a sec. Whoa. Would you take your son right now in this condition overseas to America? And he said, absolutely not.
Wow.
I said, well, why are you asking me to do the same? He said, stop wasting resources. He did the tests. There was a shift change. God sends another angel in. New doctor comes in. She goes, I know exactly what's wrong with him. It's called acute myositis. It's a temporary infection in his spinal cord. He will be walking again in 48 hours.
Unreal.
And so that's what happened. So we got on the plane 48 hours later. He could walk. We got to America. We're deer in headlights when we get here. We brought our dogs with us. And then, of course, everything is hideously expensive, more expensive than we ever thought. It was significantly more. So we'd gone through all our life savings to get to America. And we were shell-shocked at going, what's just happened? And it was easy for me to say, but my wife and son were not sharing the same thing, that I'm going, well, God's clearly got us because he's protecting us. But there was a lot of humanness going, this is a terrible situation. Could we just jump on the plane and go back home? Oh. It's like, no.
Well, just so, the level of the stress of that you guys, the level of stress that you were all under, including Ollie, right? Like everyone, the dogs, I mean, everyone's.
Yeah. That whole experience that you just related, though, is kind of like punch, counterpunch. It's a punch from the devil, counterpunch from God, because in each case he came through. And it's been a couple of years now that you've been here, And there have been continued challenges, I'm sure, but you've also seen some great victories. And one of the things, as I've mentioned to you before, that I really admire about you is that you have just this simple but very solid faith that God's got you, and that somehow, some way, in spite of how the circumstances look, it's going to work out. And here you are now. What's it been, about 3-4 years that you've been here?
2.5 years in America.
With the continued challenges that, you know, we all go through, it doesn't always turn out just rosy the next day. But it's amazing how you and your family have adapted and settled in, and you don't know exactly what's next, but you're the type of person that's open, and that's what inspires me.
But wait a minute. Let's talk about, because he's with EMF,
yes,
we haven't got to the rest of the story.
Okay.
Like,
you were with EMF doing great things there, and then there was another transition, and of course, you're no stranger to transitions, so it probably didn't take you by surprise.
Transition king. Really?
I remember when we were having conversations before we'd moved to America with the HR lady, Janet Cherry. She's such an amazing human being. I love her to bits. And I said, they said, this is expensive, Jared. Can this be a long-term thing? Can this be like a 10-year deal? And I said, absolutely. Can we have that in writing? And she goes, no. We don't need to put that in writing, because we look after our staff. And in fact, our challenge is that we generally, it takes us too long to say goodbye to staff. I said, okay, no problem. Well, within 3 months of us getting there, 3 of the 4 people that were instrumental in moving us had got sacked or had left. And the final person sacked means fired. It's an Australian term. So they were fired. And then the fourth person got demoted. And so we instantly went from the chaos of getting to America through to, well, how's this going to play out? And then long and short of it, all new projects got put on ice by the new administration. And that 10-year long-term deal became obvious that that was not going to happen. And I was on a visa tied to the company. And so my boss came to me and said, hey, look, Jared, don't get caught in case this goes bad. Go and feel free to go and get a job. And so I set myself a task of having 100 coffees. I had 190, and not a single job came at the end of that. But I had countless people saying, if you open up your own business, I will, I've got work for you. And so that's what I did. We had to go through the green card process, which never was going to be possible. That's another miracle story. We got a green card within 6 months, which is an 18-month process. I mean, there's more stories and more stories about how God just came through for us. But, you know, now I'm here in America and I'm loving what I'm doing. I've got some amazing clients that I'm working with. Hope Media Group is one of them. And I get to use the skills and abilities that God's given me to impact the stations. I can use my CEO skill set, but without having the pressure and the challenges of being a CEO. And I can support the CEOs because I can speak their language. And so God's kind of just made all of this happen. I kind of feel like I'm a bit of a fraud at times, because I kind of clicking my fingers going, I've always wanted to run my own business. Now it's here. Is this thing real?
Right? Like, I think it's almost
an imposter syndrome, but I'm stepping into it because that's where I feel God has me.
Well, God wastes nothing, Jared, as you know. Yeah. And so I think it's so beautiful how all the ways in which your life is just all intertwined, ups and downs and ins and outs. And he's not wasted any of it, because he knew all along the desires of your heart, and that's what he's delivered. So,
well, then it needs to be an encouragement for our listeners and our viewers too, because maybe you're going through a really tough, uncertain time, and there's a transition, and that requires changes that you don't like or that you're unfamiliar with, or maybe those changes have already occurred and you're disappointed because it didn't turn out the way you thought it would. So listen again to the key components in Jared's story, that when you go through those things, if you will have the faith and the trust, knowing that God loves you and he has good things for you, will you be willing to trust him that he's got you? And Jared, with all those experiences and many more of the untold stories that we haven't had time for right now, tell me what you would sort of point at as the biggest breakthrough that occurred in your life during those years of challenges and opportunities and transitions. What do you consider was the big breakthrough?
For me, it was understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. So in 2017, I studied peace, which is a fruit of the Spirit, for a year. It wasn't until August of that year that I understood what peace was and could talk about peace and the peace that surpasses understanding. I did the same with patience in 2018, and I did joy in 2023, in the midst of the chaos, right? And I can tell you that it took me 7 months, 8 months the first time, 5 months the next time, 2 months the next time. The world will tell you what these things are. So peace, patience, joy, they're some of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these, there are no law. By the way, just as a side note, don't study these unless you want to be tested in them.
I was going to talk about that. I was like, and when you focus on one of those words, he will test you.
Absolutely. And so for me, here's what I've worked out. And this is my encouragement for you today, if you're listening to this. There's nothing I can do in my world to bring peace into my world, patience, kindness, goodness, joy, any of those things, because they are the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to the words. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Against these, there is no law. Well, if the law is man-made, then that's a counterfeit. So here's what the world will say. The world will say, you're stressed. You don't have peace. Go to the beach, take a vacation, have a relaxation massage. Guess what those are? They will bring you happiness, maybe, which is not a fruit of the Spirit. They may give you rest, but they're not going to give you peace. There is nothing I can do in my humanity to bring any of those characteristics into my life apart from one thing. And here's my prayer. Holy Spirit, fill me with the fruit of peace today. And let that fruit come out from me, and let other people bump into your spirit ahead of bumping into my humanness.
So
I don't do it as a roulette, but I will occasionally get into a meeting and go, what am I feeling? What do I need? And I go, okay, I'm a bit anxious. I need peace, or I'm a bit cranky today. I need some joy. And I will literally say, okay, God, I'm going to rest myself in you. I'm going to ground myself in you. Holy Spirit, enter me now and let this meeting or let this situation be full of whatever fruit that is needed in that moment. And I guarantee you, you ask that prayer, you pray that prayer, and the Holy Spirit shows up every single time, without fail.
And that is how you become the transition king, is because you have the King, the Holy Spirit, working in and through you for all those transition moments. So we are delighted, honestly, that you took the time to come on with us and that you were vulnerable enough to show us your closet.
Yeah, and the little Lutheran boy's got some pretty good theology, too, going
He's got great theology. Yes, it's spot on. So,
Jared, we love you. You are a true model. You're an inspiration. You're very for real. And I think we can take your words to heart, learn from them, and be challenged by them to let the Holy Spirit in us do what he wants to do and only he can do. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah. And as we wrap up, do you have one like life scripture verse that you want to share with us that kind of you lean in on?
Jeremiah 29:11 is my favorite verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a future and a hope, to prosper you. I've kind of stuffed that up then, but you understand that's the Jared translation, right? Yeah. In other words, I've got plans for you that far surpass anything that you can imagine. Mm. And particularly in times of change, step into that, because those plans are going to make you happier. When you step into what alignment with me and who I've created you to be. So Jeremiah 29:11.
I love it. Thank you so much, Jared. God bless you. You're amazing.
Bless you too. And thanks for the honor of joining you today on the podcast.
Thanks Jared.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.